Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Is the American dream still alive today? Chris Dunham was born in the coastal town of Vizag in Andhra Pradesh, India. After finishing his MBA at the Institute of Management Technology, he migrated to the United States. Through training, teaching, and facilitating seminars all over the world, Krish launched his professional speaking career as one of only two executive coaches personally trained by Zig Ziglar. Krish has successfully delivered his message of hope, humor, and balance on six continents and throughout the continental United States. He joins us today from Texas, and we remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus. Krish has been touched by the love of Christ, and it is our prayer that you too would open your heart to Jesus, who loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ calls you to himself. Would you open your heart to Jesus? Krish Dunham is the author of The American Dream from an Indian Heart, From Abstracts to Absolutes, and contributing author to the book Top Performance, written by Zig Ziglar. His latest book, Hard-Headed, Soft-Hearted, co-authored with Rick Beluzzo, is being used as a culture transformation curriculum globally. He also acts as the global corporate adjunct for Ravi Zacharias Ministries and sits on the board of the SkyPass Foundation. He and his wife, Anila, have one son, Nicholas. Krish, welcome to our show.
Thanks a lot, Danny. Thanks for having me, and special shout out to my Hawaiian mom.
Thank you, honey.
What was it like, Krish, growing up in Vizag?
Life in India, by any nature, is different. I came from a family that was barely middle class. Extended family depended on my parents a lot. But they worked really hard to send us and get a good education. That's what they wanted for us. So I saw poverty all around, but was always aspiring for something more by my dad's own push and my mom's own initiative. So even though there was struggle, I don't think our parents allowed us to feel it. They always reminded us that having a roof over your head and food in your belly was more important, because you saw poverty and degradation all around. So you never worried and had envy for those that had more than you. You always felt blessed for those that had that what you had and hoped that you could give to somebody. So that's how it was. It's very hard to describe to people who have never experienced that, but you can actually feel the stench of hopelessness, because, you know, sanitation is not good, running water. All the things we take for granted in the Western world were something that, you know, you had to fight for to get. So,
who influenced you most in your growing up years?
As a child, my parents, you know, would scrape to get money to go into a good Christian school. So aside from my parents, the lady who influenced me the most was a lady by the name of Mercy Jayarajara, who today lives in Knoxville, Tennessee. She was the principal of the Canadian Baptist Mission School that operated in my hometown. And every day I would hear messages of hope and enlightenment come through the intercom. These were biblical messages, even though the student populace was Hindu. So I think the earliest influence, if I can think of a person who posited thoughts in my mind, would be lady we call Big Miss. Aside from my parents, I would give her a lot of credit for those early formative years.
Hmm. How did you become a Christian?
I was unequally yoked to my now bride of 30-plus years. I met her in business school. She's a fifth-generation Christian who was great-great-grandparents were converted by Christian missionaries who had come to India in the 1870s. So when we got married, technically we were unequally yoked, and my mother-in-law had prayed for me for 7 years by name every night that not only would I come to the foot of the cross, but that I would eventually abandon my corporate position and come back to India. Mm-hmm. So that was the seed of prayer, but the man who led me to Jesus Christ was Zig Ziglar.
Tell us what happened.
As I said, we were unequally yoked, and so when my son was getting ready to be born, my bride asked me if I had any guests I would like to invite to the baptism, because she was going to raise him in the faith, and we had to get the baptism date ahead of schedule, even before he was born, because parents and all had to come from India. So I went and asked Mr. Ziglar if he would come to my son's baptism, and this was a couple of months before my boy Nick was born. And when I asked him, he said, "I would come if you will answer one question." And I said, "What is that?" He says, "Why do you want to send your son to some place you're not sure you're going?" And so fast forward a couple of months later, when I held my boy for the first time on July 28th of 1993, the words of Mr. Ziglar resonated, because I never wanted to be separated from that feeling. And I then turned to my mother-in-law, who was right next to me, and I said, "Mama, when we baptize Nicholas, I want to get baptized too." So I had the rare privilege of being baptized in October of 93 with my son Nicholas on the same day, and Mr. Ziglar was in attendance, as was my mother-in-law.
Mm. Krish, what difference has Christ made in your life?
Danny, in your introduction, you had said something about trying to get to that component, and I really was so struggling at that point in my professional life and in my sales career. I just did not know what to do, and I was looking every which way. I was having some kind of success, but was not having the success I wanted in my heart. So as a result of that, I ended up praying on my knees, saying, "God, come and share with me the things that you need me to know." And that was the difference. The difference was the spiritual dimension that I could never, ever fathom as a Hindu. In Hinduism, you're asked to have many different gods. But to realize that there was one God who could be my comforter made all the difference in the world.
How do you feel the Lord has used your experience now with Christ to put you on the platform where you're speaking to millions of people today?
I think the fact that I retain my Indian identity, the fact that I retain my Indian name, has opened doors all over the world. But every time I speak, I only ask one prayer, and that prayer is this, that, "Lord, when I'm finished, whether it's a corporate environment or any environment, when I'm finished, let one person come out and say that they saw the living Christ." And what I mean by that is I just want my faith to show through in whichever arena I am. And by God's grace, every place I've ever spoken to, I've had that one person come up to me and say, "Thank you for standing." And by that, I really began to realize that somewhere along the line of my motivational speaking career, which erstwhile started as, you know, the rah-rah guy, it evolved into a kind of person who would just pray to the Holy Spirit, saying, as one of my other mentors would give me, "Lord Jesus, feel free to show off at my expense," and somehow he does.
Mm-hmm. Did you aspire to be a motivational speaker?
Not really. I was a good debater by language standards in India, but then when I was traveling carrying Mr. Ziglar's briefcase and traveling all over the world with him, I saw the good he was doing. But then I met another bunch of other motivational speakers who were not consistent as well. And so when the opportunity came for me to travel and represent his organization and sell licenses in other countries, they wanted someone who could come and speak as well. And that's when I went and asked him if I could do this for a living. And he asked me to make him a promise. He says, "Don't consider yourself an expert in this field till you have given me at least 10 years to show you what consistency is." Mm-hmm. So he made me promise to him that I would wait to be what he called a 10-year overnight success. So there was no aspiration. The opportunities came because of the affiliation. But the first time I actually considered myself that speaker was when he called me and said that he could not make an engagement, but he had trained me so well that he thought I was ready to go and fill in for him. Mm. And my career just took off.
Not many people have, there's only two of you, right, that were trained in that way.
Yeah, my colleague Brian Flanagan was who was also one of the contributing authors to the book, he was raised up to almost be the sales heir, so to speak, and I took on the mantle of being the motivational heir. Mm-hmm. And that's what they called us for the longest time. We used to do seminars with him. But, both of us, even till today, would very rarely reference him without awe and reverence.
Mm. The opportunity to be mentored by Mr. Zig Ziglar is just such a rare, rare moment. And we have Chris Dunham with us today. And to share heart to heart his own life, his own experiences, the things that the Lord has taught him, nuggets of wisdom through that relationship. And when we come back from our break, wisdom, insights, even some insights in the midst of challenges that we face. Have you ever experienced a time when you felt like you were disenchanted? You didn't know what to do? You didn't know how to move forward, how to move ahead? What's your next step? Chris Dunham has spoken to millions all over the world. He's speaking heart to heart with us today. Just like one-on-one. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
In many ways, Chris Dunham is the epitome of the American dream. He's a native of India, arrived in the United States with $9 in his pocket and a vision of promise in his heart. He writes about it in his book, The American Dream, From an Indian Heart. It's an unfolding of that journey and its hidden promise. You can find out more about Chris at chrisdunham.com. Again, chrisdunham.com. Chris, you mentioned your experience with Mr. Ziglar. How did you meet?
Well, this is one of the more fascinating stories that I probably can't tell. But I won a sales contest working for a telecommunications company, and the prize for winning that contest was to go to hear him speak at an event. And they gave us a choice. They said, you can go hear either Brian Tracy or Zig Ziglar speak. And Brian Tracy has now become a friend, so I'm allowed to name him in the equation. But I tell people that I already knew many Brians. I did not know what a Zig was. So I said, if you're going to take my sales reward and give it to me to go to do something, let me go here. And in the 3 hours that followed, this was January 26th, Republic Day in India, January 26, 1990. I'll never forget it. In those 3 hours, this man made more sense than all my college professors combined. I took notes with such a fervor. I had never seen somebody communicate such profound thoughts with such simple ease. And then when I came back from there, I told my bride, I said, sweetheart, I want to go work for this man. It didn't happen that day. It didn't happen the next day. But a series of events in October of 91, I took a job as a telemarketer with him because that was the only job that was available. And I went to work for his organization, taking a $2,000 a month pay cut because I felt destiny was calling. And destiny did call because I eventually became his vice president of global operations. So.
Why do you believe? Why do you believe God provided this opportunity to be mentored by him?
I think part of it is destiny. Sometimes you don't question why God does what he does. But let me back up the story, and I think it'll now all completely come to full fruition. The lady you asked me who influenced me in my birth home of Vizag, Ms. Jayarajara, was born on July 4th. My mother-in-law, who was the one who prayed for me, was born on July 4th. The land I call home now was born on July 4th, and Mr. Ziglar was born again on July 4th.
Wow.
I do believe that coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. Somewhere along the line, I stopped trying to figure it out because what I saw on this side of the equation and the reward we have gained is so much more that even my boy, I missed every one of his significant milestones because I may have been preaching somewhere in the world. And when he turned 18, I remember telling him, I said, boy, I feel miserable that I failed you as a father. And his first words were, Dad, who will tell them about Jesus if you don't go? So I have to realize that God has ordained us for this part because we've paid the price by all means.
And Krish, that's a great segue for me, for you to share Anila's position in your ministry.
Talking about her, I just wonder what I can possibly say. Because when I asked her, I said, sweetheart, you're the most significant part of everything we have done. All these people get the public claim, but I always end every speech by saying, I'm your husband. But our marriage has been one that is, I don't know how to describe it. I've never been around. She said, our marriage was never designed to be one of proximity. It was ordained to be one of example. And that's when I realized that God, if you ask her, she'll say that, if God hadn't used her family, he would have used another family that he already had his hand on my heart. So, you know, she's my cheerleader and my prayer warrior. So I can't, more than that, I don't know what else tribute to give her except the fact that after 30 years, I just marvel about her strength for all the battering she's taken medically and all that she continues to cheer me on and continues to demand that I give up my time to go serve him.
Well, and Krish, if I may add, when I talked with her about it, her response was just fluid and comfortable and sincere. And she just said, Suzanne, I'm his prayer warrior. Mm-hmm. God will send him out, and I will be home in prayer. Just beautiful, beautiful testimony. And she's a beautiful woman inside and out. Mm-hmm. Do I hear an amen?
Mom, you know, you've seen me enough times, you've met her as well. But
yes.
With all this going on in the world with the issues of travel and the issues of safety, someone recently asked her, are you ever worried? And her response, again, is one for the ages when she said, when a man of God is doing the work of God, he's immortal till God calls him home. If I worry, then I'm not being faithful.
Oh, amen. Beautiful. Give her my love.
I will.
Krish, lessons. What are some of the top lessons in those 10 years of mentorship, training, development with Mr. Ziegler, what lessons did you learn?
Well, actually, it was 20 years. I spent about 17 with him personally. Mm. But the first lesson I learned from him was what he called the home court advantage. So he would say that wherever you are, tell people that you're, if they ask you where you're going, tell them you're going home, but you just have to stop off in the Philippines on the way. He says home has to be the source of knowledge and the destination for strength and respite. So that's the first thing he taught me. Unless you have the home court advantage, you'll be useless to anybody you try to serve. So make sure that your family is always put on a pedestal so high. The second thing he taught me was consistency. He used to always quote Dr. Joyce Brothers when he says, you cannot consistently perform in a way inconsistent with the way you see yourself. So he says, if you see yourself as an evangelist, then see thousands answering the call. If you see yourself as a corporate speaker, then you see thousands acknowledging. But you have to, you cannot consistently perform in a manner inconsistent with the way you see yourself. So he, and he demanded that consistency in all walks of life. But the third thing he told me, which was the most important, was there are three components to success. He says, always have a God to look up to, always have a family to lean on, but always be proud of the country you stand on. So he says, look up, lean on, stand on. If you have these three, God, family, country, in that sequence, you should not only be unstoppable, but you'll have a solid foundation. So those are the three primary lessons I learned from him.
Passion. You ooze passion. But what would you say you're most passionate about in this season of your life?
Without a doubt, it is sharing the gospel in the heart of Jesus Christ. I've had the privilege of doing this on multiple platforms in multiple countries, but nothing excites me more than when someone says, as a result of you coming here, we were able to make a life decision. Our Bible tells us that heaven rejoices when one repents. People always ask me what I do, and I always tell them I'm a party planner. I try to plan parties in heaven. But most excited email I got was when I was in Romania and a girl sent me an email saying, when you spoke, I felt your Jesus dance on my heart. That's what I want to hear.
Wow. So. When were the moments you feel you've grown the most in your faith?
I think when I was tested the most. I think when I've been in the valley, the 23rd Psalm comes alive. I've been tested in my faith in many different parts. There was a time about a couple of years ago when we were defrauded about out of a sum of money that left us physically shaken, mentally distraught. We didn't know where the next check was going to come from. And then we just got together and prayed. And, you know, the book of Acts always tells us that it's easy to identify the Paul in your life because you can say that they're the source of wisdom. It's easy to identify the Timothy in your life because they become the people you're going to teach and speak to. But very rarely do we recognize the Barnabas who is supposed to encourage us. And into my life at that time, God sent a real-life Barnabas, my colleague Victor Abraham, who we have done business with and we've done ministry with globally. But, you know, those were the times I really I felt God's presence when you're sitting with somebody who God sends you saying that, you know, listen, I'm here, don't worry. And, you know, for that to happen in a country half a world away from where you're born, far away from family, it's you know, it's a godsend moment.
Mm. Speaking of family, share with us about Mala Ministries.
Mala Ministries was birthed out of a burden to go and share some of the things that we have learned in our corporate, or some of the things we teach in our corporate endeavors. So in 2008, my bride Anila and I said, let's start a small foundation, and the foundation will have no salaries or any operational expenses. We'll just try to raise enough money to go to India or wherever the good Lord sends us so we can share these biblical truths to people who would not have access to a Zig Ziglar or maybe not be able to listen to a program like yours on a radio or to an Adrian Rogers or to a Ravi Zacharias. So that was the genesis. Then I went to corporations that I work with, and I basically told them I have this desire. If I impact your bottom line, will you support my ministry with some of your profits? And they agreed. So that was how the whole idea was born. And 8 years later, that's still the model we carry. Mm-hmm. Mala Ministries primarily spends about 80% of my... I mean, I'm mandated by the ministry to go overseas every 2 months or so to some part of the world, and we have done about 6 or 7 different countries. We've set up scholarships in Mr. Ziegler's name and my mother-in-law's name and seminaries in India where underprivileged people who are converts from Hinduism will have a chance at a biblical seminary education. We have built a couple of churches in India. So primary mandate is for me to travel to these places, and ours is a teaching ministry. The few times we have built something, we have encouraged other people to build it, and we just raise the funds for them. So operationally, it's very lean, and its focus is primarily equipping the pastors, equipping the congregation, and equipping the youth. Those are our three primary mandates.
I sense the need to ask about the meaning of mala. When we come back from our break, Chris, explain that to us. You give us a little snapshot of it early on, but I know our listeners will want to know. Mala Ministries, what does that mean? Well, you've heard Chris Dunham. He really can get that substance in to us as we share in this time together. Much needed, isn't it? Much needed when we talk about lessons from Mr. Ziegler. Much needed when we think about how he has worked in relation with his wife and the unique calling that he has, a sense of destiny that he has, and why he's here, what God has called him to do. A man of clarity, a man of focus. There's a power there. Dear friend, these things are accessible to you too. These characteristics, Christ-like characteristics, can be yours. And so the Lord sends in a very special way at this very special time, Chris Dunham, sharing heart to heart with us. Yes, there are challenges, but there are also inspirations. And this is a moment of inspiration, and there will be more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Yamashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Chris Dunham and his wife, Anila, have started a ministry called Mala Ministries. It's impacting people all over the world, scholarships. He travels a lot to these places every couple of months. Mala Ministries. You can find out more about Mala Ministries at malaministries.org. And, of course, Chris Dunham, chrisdunham.com. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. It's a blessing to have you with us today. Thanks for joining us. Chris, Mala Ministries, what does that mean?
Mala is actually, it's a trifold purpose. Mala in an Indian languages means a garland, like you would call a lei, a garland of God's love. Mala actually broken down stands for Maya, which was my late mother-in-law's name, that saintly woman who prayed for my deliverance. And Lakshmi is the name of my mother. My parents are still Hindu, so part of the goal for Mala Ministries was to have an option to go to India many different times and witness to my parents. So Mala stands for Maya and Lakshmi. By the way, our leadership program, which is also has the same acronym Mala, is Molding a Leader's Attitude. So we created three purposes out of that name.
In your book, Hard-Headed and Soft-Hearted, you write, "My father, who had to abandon many of his own choices because of obligations, has said to me repeatedly that for every step I took in life, he would take one right behind me. If I were ever to fall, he would be right there to catch me." Chris, what kind of feeling did that instill in you?
Oh, my father is my hero. He's simply the most tenacious and consistent man I know as well. He abandoned his quest for further education, but with an undergraduate degree, he took a job to support a very extended family. I think in the early 60s, two of his sisters were widowed 10 days apart. So between those two sisters, they had nine children without a father in this country with no safety net. A lot of these tragedies came across his life, but the man just gave relentlessly. Ironically, at the age of 75, now that everybody was settled, and nobody needed him anymore, he went back to college, got his master's, and last year at the age of 82, my daddy got his PhD.
Wow. Wow.
And how about mom?
Mom went back, and at the age of 75, she got her master's. So these people they're very remarkable in their simplicity. They're very worldly traveled because my brother has lived overseas, I've lived overseas. So my parents have traveled quite a bit, but when you see them, they're just lockstock simpletons that you would find in a remote village in southern India kind of people, but very wise worldly. Mm. So every time he gave me advice, it was like when he got his PhD, I said, "Dad, why did you do it?" He says, "When my obligations to others finish, my obligations to my dreams remain." These are powerful statements coming from people, who I marvel at how impactful their lives have been and how many people they have touched. But ultimately, our goal is for them to know the saving grace of the one who loves us. So we'll continue with our persistence.
Chris, what did he get his study for his PhD?
His PhD, his MA was in, he majored in philosophy, and then his PhD was, his thesis was the hermeneutics of human values. So he actually defended the theories of Kant and all these other guys and Martha Nussbaum, people who I studied to defend my faith. So it's almost as if God has brought us into this interesting stage of our lives where we debate intellectually, me with my apologetics training and he with his philosophical training. And now we can actually deal with the issues of faith without getting convoluted like we used to earlier. So actually, even in this, I see God's work because he's making my dialogue with him easier.
And through that, you can connect heart to heart in a spiritual way, even more deeply.
Absolutely, because recently when I was preaching in a church in India, the church had, unbeknownst to me, invited my father to honor him for the fact that at the age of 82, the man got a PhD from a university that is 83 years old. And they honored him there, and I was sitting behind. And when he spoke, when he got up, he didn't know they would ask him to speak for 5 minutes on what it meant to get his degree at that advanced an age. And he said the words, he says, "Thank you for your love, but I guess Jesus is love." And that's the first time since I converted to Christianity that my father had ever said the words Jesus. And it mattered to me because when I first told my father I'd become a believer, he told me I was a curse on the family. So this is fascinating to see how God works in this journey and reminds us that he's in charge of the beginning and the end. And if we want to mess about in the middle, he'll let us.
You mentioned apologetics. I mentioned this also in the introduction. Your involvement with Ravi Zacharias. How did you get to know Ravi?
This also is interesting. I was preaching, actually doing a youth workshop in southern India when one of Ravi's chief apologists in India heard me speak and went and told them that, hey, you know, I found a guy who comes from a motivational background. You know, I begin every message by telling people I haven't been to seminary, I've yet to go to cemetery, so I don't claim to be a theologian by any standard. But soon the word spread around India, and I started becoming the title, the laughing evangelist. So Dr. Ravi said, hey, you know, we need someone like that in our very intellectual situations and academic situations. So about 7 years ago, they started inviting me to speak at different events, and probably to bring in the layperson's perspective of it's okay to laugh, it's okay to smile, kind of, when we deal with these deep theological issues. And that journey slowly led, and then last year they asked me if I would join their team as a global corporate adjunct. So in addition to training their staff in Atlanta, I do travel around the world and train some of their staff in other locations and participate in some events with them. That led to me being asked, and I got accepted and went and spent about 5 weeks in England last year to study business training and apologetics under their fellowship program over there.
What was it like?
It's unbelievable in the sense that you get to hear from all walks of life. So you get to hear from social scientists and critics like Oz Guinness, and then you get to hear the word of God defended by Dr. John Lennox, who's got 3 PhDs in applied mathematics. You get to hear from business. You get to hear from, you know, it's a fascinating coalition of people who come there. And that's when you begin to realize that one of the reasons we sometimes seem to be losing the argument in conventional conversation is one of the statements I heard last year kind of rocked my world. It says the good news is only good news if people think their lives are bad. So, you know, what about the happy heathen, so to speak? So these are the things that kind of got my attention and rewired me with a different purpose. So I hope that I'll be able to use some of the humor and the encouragement that is part of my natural persona and some of the logic and defense that they give me and maybe have some kind of a approach. In fact, we started something new. It's called Witness at Work, and the website is witnessatwork.com, where I invite business people and let them speak. And as a speaker, I'm just the MC. And I actually just started this process, and we've got our second or third event this Friday. But that's all the desire to bring logic and faith into the marketplace, because we're the only ones who know how it ends.
Krish, is the American dream still alive today? I'm thinking in the context of the tumultuous political season that we have here and that affects the world. I hear that the headlines are about the presidential race in different parts of the world. Everyone's looking here in the United States. But again, the American dream, is it still alive today?
Yes, for those who want it, as long as we maintain the principles of free enterprise, as long as we understand civility, it will always exist. The founding fathers were brilliant. You know, if you give me permission, I'll share a quote from Daniel Webster, and he said, "If we and our posterity reject religious instruction and authority, violate the principles of eternal ethics, and trifle on moral injunction, no man can say how sudden the catastrophe that will overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity." So he identified some things which were important for the immortality of our republic, so to speak. But Thomas Jefferson also said a good republic will last, I mean, good democracy will last about 200 years before it turns on itself. And right now we have become so free that freedom is actually choking us. And the American dream is only alive if people understand the limitations of law, but the limitlessness of grace. Because this country was founded on bent knee, and unless we get back there, I don't think we'll see that God's providence on his people will only exist if they realize that it's okay to dream, but it's only okay to dream if there are moral limits. You know, Dr. Ravi has a statement saying that any country that flirts with the idea that there is no moral boundary is flirting with hell. And so I think we're seeing both sides of this because in our debate, people ask me this question all the time, and I'm a gung-ho, flag-waving patriot. I mean, I'll go toe-to-toe with the best of them on American history. But one of the things they don't teach people who come to this country anymore is the civics that was mandated when I went through my citizenship test. We had to know how the government functioned. And I don't think we even teach that anymore. We're considering those foundations irrelevant. But for everybody who picks those up, as Mr. Ziegler said, something to be proud of, the dream is still alive and right there for the picking.
What does it mean to compete and complete?
Again, I think it goes back to the broader narrative of what we were just talking about. Right now, completion is not an issue anymore. People say, give it your best, and in the great by and by, it'll all work out. Don't need to give it your all. Just participate. If you remember one of the movies, the guy says, hey, I can't believe you kept my, you know, you kept my seventh place medal. And the father says, yeah, they go all the way up to 12 now. So, you know, that's almost borderline mocking the fact that achievement does matter. So when I tell people, I said, if you're going to compete, compete with the desire to complete, which means finish the race. Mm. But also compete with the desire that when you finish the race, you're not awarded because you finished the race, you're awarded because you were victorious. So that's what I mean by that principle of if you compete, complete, but don't just do anything half-baked.
Mm. Well, as you speak, Krish, I'm inspired. Suzanne, I marvel just at the gift. When God has he's kissed Krish Dunham with a gift, and Krish has the heart to share it. He's sharing it today. He shares it with millions and millions of people all over the world. Krish Dunham, when we come back from our break, let's talk about people who are wanting to, they want to complete. They want to finish well. They don't want to do it half-baked, but they're living with a limp, and they just can't seem to get, you know, their steps moving in proper order, in the right cadence. There's a staccato in their life, and it's messing them up. Your perspective, maybe a word of inspiration on that. More from Krish Dunham, sharing heart-to-heart with you. It's a privileged moment. Treasure this now, okay? We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, in his sovereign grace, the Lord distills upon some certain sterling qualities that, sparkle with excellence and at the same time are placed before us in such a way that we can partake of the blessings of the Lord through these whom he has so graciously gifted. We have Chris Dunham with us today, and it's a blessing that you're with us. Mm-hmm. Where are you in your life today? You know what? Open your heart to what the Lord has to say through Chris and his life experiences and all the preparation that he's put in for moments just like these. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. Thank you for joining us today. Find out more about Chris Dunham at chrisdunham.com. Chris, what would you say to someone right now who's going through a very, very difficult time?
The thing that is in the greatest shortage in this world is encouragement. And the first piece of advice I would give to people is find somebody that you can listen to or find somebody that can hear you, not because of the fact that you have a problem, but find someone who talks to you empathetically and not sympathetically. And the difference there is very simple. When we have problems, we usually go to people who have the same problems, and they're sympathetic towards us, and they say, hey, you think you have a problem, let me tell you about mine, and now we're on the same side of the line. Mm-hmm. But I would encourage you to find somebody who would understand that you have a problem, but say, hey, listen, here's what I think we need to do. So that's the number one step, and they are all over the place, whether you listen to a podcast, whether you listen to a broadcast, whatever it is. There are many people out there who are willing to guide you. Your own show, Danny, is a good show. Just listening to the music and listening to the inspiration in between shows that they can listen and be inspired if they would allow themselves the opportunity to change. Second piece of advice is most people struggle with change not because they are afraid of failure. Most people struggle with change because they're afraid of being abandoned by others who have the same failure. And let me explain that. Hmm. We seem to be comfortable in our ridges, and I think the word you used is people who have limitations on their hope. And I think what ends up happening is we hang around with people who are just like us, who can understand our misery. And the moment we take one step forward, we are afraid that we are abandoning them. So most people have a desperate fear of success, not the fear of failure. And they don't want to be the one who jumps out, so to speak. To them, I would like to give them this vision. And the vision is this. The only reason you would need to change is because amongst all the species in the earth, you're the only one given the ability to both forgive if someone has hurt you and forget if something has limited you. We're the only species that is given both the luxury of forgiving and forgetting. So whatever is limiting you, A, forgive it if it is betrayal, if it is something. But get help if it is addiction or something else. So those two things, don't be afraid of success and find somebody who can be empathetic and show you a solution. Unless you take those and do it immediately, you're going to outguess yourself and you're going to get stuck in this paralysis of analysis.
The practical things that people can do. You know, before our break, Chris, I was talking about someone who, yeah, they have the desire to complete. They have that idea in their mind, but they just feel like they're limping along in life. These things help them to get back into cadence. What would you say when someone is trying, they are earnestly taking the steps of faith to do it, but things don't really seem to be transpiring positively for them as they expected?
In fact, that's probably an easier question to answer than the first one for the simple reason, because it's one of the great questions of our time. Mm. We're doing everything we can. Why are we not having the break? And that's because we are qualifying in our mind what the goodness of our success is. The reason we put a cap on our ability is because we go through endless qualifications. And let me explain that, unpack that the best way I know how. When I wrote my first book and I got rejected, I thought I was a failure as a writer because I thought I had to have instant access. The second rejection was a little less painful because they were a little less terse in their rejection. The third rejection didn't start to matter because I was now getting used to rejection. Hmm. there's a difference between refusal and rejection. When someone says no to you, all they're giving you is permission to go learn a new skill. There are only three people on God's green earth who can reject me: my wife and my son, my parents and my in-laws, and my best friend. If you don't fall into that category, I don't give you permission to reject me. Now, you can refuse me, but when you refuse me, you're giving me permission to go learn a new skill. So that's the fundamental approach we have to take. You're limping along, stuff is happening, you're not getting your break. Consider that the classroom. You know, Pablo Casals was 90 years old when he was practicing his cello, and someone said, "Why do you keep practicing? You already got fame and fortune." He said, "I think I'm making progress." So you always have to consider yourself, even though you have achieved something, to consider yourself that unfinished symphony. And I always do believe, I used to ask Mr. Ziegler, which is your best speech? Now, this was when he was making $75,000 a speech. I said, which is your best speech? He says, the next one. I said, you're just saying that. He says, no, unless I believe it, I slowly start dying. Mm. So whatever is going on in your life, whatever you're experiencing, you have to believe that in that lot, your best is yet to come. And the logic that was given by one cartoon is this: the food you eat on the mountaintop only grows in the valley. Nothing grows on the mountaintop.
What is your favorite scripture, Krish?
This one I may actually answer before the question is finished, because I've been asked it so much. But yes. Jeremiah 33:3 was the scripture given to me when I was going through the valleys, and to a lamenting prophet who lamented for a nation for 40 years and not one person turned, the good Lord said, "Seek unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things you cannot comprehend." Now that's it just depends on which translation you use, but that's my interpretation. What I found from that is outside the realm of my thought, outside the realm of my imagination, begins God's providence. So no matter what I want in this world, how much I desire in this world, how much I dream about in this world, how much I conjure up the image in my mind, beyond that begins his providence for me. Seek unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things you cannot comprehend.
You mentioned about your best friend being someone who could reject you. What kind of advice has your best friend given you in your life that you've treasured and it's been pivotal?
I've got a few people who fall into that category, but one of them who serves with me in our ministry, a dear friend of mine, Sonny Gann. I remember one time when I was packing up my belongings at Ziegler after 17 years of continuous service. I was actually moving to an independent role, no longer having that corner office. And that January, when I was packing up my office, he was with me, and every book I took off the shelf, I shed a tear, every paper. He gave me a statement. He says, "The plans you have laid out may have failed. You didn't."
Today, Krish, as we begin to wrap up our time together, we've got a couple minutes. In that same way, someone may be in a moment of transition. It's a challenge to their heart. There's a tenderness there. Could you lead in a prayer in that same spirit that your friend shared with you?
Our most gracious God, we do not know your ways, and we do not even begin to understand how you command us. But Lord, for those listening, for those hurting, for those aching, or for those hoping for that fundamental foundational change, a word that would come from you through these airwaves, Lord, we want to offer a few prayers. And the first is this: Lord, don't give us so much that we would run independent of you, yet don't give us so little that we'd become discouraged. Lord, another prayer from Dr. Richard, who gave me this moment as well, is very simple. Lord, please raise our gifts, but lower us. Let us remind ourselves at this season in our lives that humility is not thinking less of ourselves, it's thinking less often of ourselves. Lord, let us put you front and center and watch everything change. For those on the outer periphery who do not know you, God, and wonder what we are talking about, invite yourself into their hearts and allow them to pray that they would welcome you into their hearts and become number one, and allow them to forgive their, allow you to forgive their past transgressions and transform them into the kind of person you want them to be. O Master, we put all these requests in your hand, not because we are eloquent in the way we say it, but because we are humble in the way we present it. We ask this in the name of your Son and forever for the sake of his glorious reputation. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Krish, thank you so much. Do we have any more time? Adrian Rogers, very, very quickly, how has he impacted your life and your ministry?
Dr. Rogers' tapes were given to me by Mr. Ziegler starting in the mid-90s, so I've probably listened to over 400 of his messages. I have modeled my entire communication style after Dr. Rogers' preaching method, which was the alliteration style. So even my corporate messages tend to have all words beginning with the same letter or leading with the same context in some way, but I use that alliteration process. Mm. The reason I love Dr. Rogers was the fact that he was unabashed and pure about his identity in Christ. When he would say statements like, the Bible is God's love letter to his children. If you don't feel loved, you're reading someone else's mail. Mm. Or make a statement like, if you don't feel the devil, you're probably walking in the same direction. He's the only person I know who's spoken equally about heaven and hell and talked about the fervor of one and the fury of the other in the same message with great command. So I admired him because he never backed down.
Mm. Chris, this has just been marvelous, powerful, inspirational, encouraging. Thank you so much. Love you so much.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you, Danny.
Thanks so much.
All right. God bless. Bye.
Dear one, I hope you've been moved today by Chris Dunham, even as we have. You can find out more at chrisdunham.com. And you know what? There's no better time than right now. Even as Chris was saying, to come to Christ. And if you haven't done so, we would encourage you to do just that. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. We've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to help us with your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Mark 4:31, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes like the largest of all garden plants." It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to Chris Dunham. Until next time, along with my co-host Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.